James by Christina Buchanan.
At 11 o'clock, the doorbell rang. Robbie and Lucy had just gone to bed, rather late, but tomorrow was Saturday. Annie must have forgotten her key. But it wasn't Annie. A young woman was standing there, holding Annie's coat and handbag. "I thought I'd better bring these," she said, smiling. "Annie left in such a rush." I grabbed the bag quickly. I must have seemed very rude. There was her purse, with several crisp notes still inside. How had she paid for a taxi without her purse? My mind was reeling. "She's not here."
But she left the restaurant 3 hours ago," the woman said. "Some emergency with the children."
Her smile had faded, and a concerned expression filled her round blue eyes. I looked down the street, which was deserted. Sleet whirled under the lampposts.
"You'd better come in."
"I'm Polly." She was now standing in our hallway. "I used to work with your wife at Hutchins. I was at the restaurant with her earlier this evening. She said she'd had a message from you about one of the children and went outside to ring you. She took her phone, but she never came back. We did look outside, but she'd gone. We thought..."
"She took her phone?"
"Yes." I was calling Annie's number, my hands shaking. After what seemed like an age, Annie's sweet voice informed me that she was not available right now, but if I left a message, she would call back. I stared at Polly in disbelief.
"Oh my God," she said. "Do you think we should call the police?"
"Daddy," came a small voice from the top of the stairs. Robbie was standing there in his pajamas. How much had he heard?
"Go back to bed, Robbie. Everything's all right."
When he didn't move, I bounded up the steps.
"Back to bed this minute. Do you hear?"
I hadn't meant to sound so sharp. Robbie started wailing. Lucy's white face appeared around the door. My phone was ringing. Frantic, shaking, I hit the button.
"Yes?"
A soft breath on the line, like a sigh. "It's me."
"Annie, are you okay? Where are you?"
"I'm by the river." Her voice sounded very far away.
"Are you hurt?"
"No."
"Where exactly by the river?"
"There's a bridge."
"Describe it. Describe the bridge, Annie."
"Quite small and old. Red bricks."
"I know it," I shouted. "Stay there, Annie. I'm coming."
I don't know what we would have done without Polly. She stayed with the children, made hot chocolate, calmed them down. I took the van and set off through the dark and whirling sleet. I knew the little red brick bridge. It was some way out of town, nothing there but farmland. I should have called the police. I don't know what I was thinking. That Annie was drunk, perhaps. It didn't make sense. She didn't really drink. But I refused to leave room for darker thoughts. When I got there, I climbed down from the van, taking my torch. At first, I could see nothing. But then I raised the torch, sweeping it around, and saw a dark shape leaning on the bridge.
"Annie, is that you? What on earth are you doing?"
She was wrapped in a trench coat much too big for her. She must have taken the wrong coat from the restaurant. She looked at me with shining eyes.
"It's so beautiful," she said. "What is?"
"This. The night. The river. This." She raised her face to the sky. I looked down at her legs, her feet. She was standing there in filthy, muddy, stockinged feet.
"Annie, where are your shoes?" they were pinching, stupid shoes. I threw them away. The next day, Polly, who seemed to have made quite a hit with the children, offered to take them off our hands for the day. Various options were being discussed as she loaded them into the car, the reptile house, pottery painting. I felt immensely grateful. Annie and I needed to talk. She had taken a shower when we got home, and then slept soundly, while I had tossed and turned all night. She hadn't seemed drunk or ill, and surely she would never jeopardize everything we had. No, the thought was too awful. My head was throbbing. "So what happened last night?" I asked. She was pottering around the kitchen, clearing the breakfast dishes, loading the dishwasher. "What happened, Annie?"
"Nothing," she said. "I just needed some fresh air. I went for a walk and got lost."
"A walk on a night like last night?"
She looked at me coolly, and I had the strangest feeling that she was no longer my Annie, warm and loving, but a stranger, as if someone had stolen her heart away and put ice in its place.
"Have you any idea how worried I was?" I shouted. "How upset the children were, how awful Polly felt."
"I'm sorry," she said lightly.
I crashed my hand down on the table. "Just a walk, Annie, really?"
Her gaze wandered out of the window, where now the world was grey and still. The ghost of a smile played on her lips. She turned back to face me.
"Just a walk," she said.